Heavenly Father, right now in this moment, as we gather around your word, we ask that you would speak to our hearts and to our lives. We love you. You are awesome. And God, we pray that today we would glimpse afresh just how awesome and magnificent you truly are. So come and move in our hearts and our lives in this moment, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're in a bit of a mini-series that we plan to finish next week, just in time for Easter. We're looking kind of on this series on periphery, and a couple of weeks ago we began in the passage in Luke chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, would you turn with me to Luke chapter 5? And we're going to recap a little bit by reading the first few verses together and springboard from there. It says, one day, as Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. As we read these words, the scene is set with Jesus teaching the word of God, and a crowd of people have gathered around him. And from this opening scene, when we gathered in these verses a few weeks ago, from this opening scene, we made the very simple but yet significant point that Jesus gathers a crowd. We see in this passage, right at the starting point of Jesus' ministry, the rule that we find accompanying his presence throughout the Gospels, and the rule which has continued throughout the passage of time, and that is that people gather and crowd around the presence and the words of Jesus. Up and down the country, today, all across the world, people are gathering around the word and the reality of Jesus. And they do so as an intentional and regular aspect of their lives. However, as Luke narrates this moment, our attention immediately is shifted from the assembled crowd who have intentionally gathered around the presence of Jesus to a group of fishermen who have not. These fishermen, we're told, are washing their nets. And they're washing their nets after a night's graft that has reaped no rewards. And it's undoubted that they would have seen the crowd, but unlike those within it, they chose not to become part of the crowd. These fishermen have also demonstrated intentionality in their decision making. And their intentional decision was to ignore the scene along the shore from them and to focus instead on what needed to be done to finish off their work and to get to their kip. And it's interesting that as Luke tells the story of this moment, he draws our attention and he calls out the actions of those within it. Our attention is drawn to the action of the crowd. The people are crowding around Jesus, listening to the word of God. We're told very specifically what it is the people are doing. And then equally, as the lens pans out to take in the wider scene and the fishermen are brought into view, we're also told about what they're doing. We're told that they are washing their nets. Now, this whole scene unfolds around Jesus. The whole reason that we're looking in this moment is because Jesus is in this moment. He is the epicenter of the whole situation. The people are crowding around Jesus, listening to what he's saying. The fishermen are in the vicinity of Jesus. In fact, the whole reason that we're introduced to these fishermen is because Jesus lifts his gaze towards them. So this whole thing revolves around Jesus. And Luke says that Jesus lifts his eyes beyond the crowd and he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Jesus' attention and his focus lifts from those crowding around his word and his presence, lifts from those who intentionally chose to position themselves in proximity to him, and he shifts it towards those who don't. Two perspectives are presented to us here. We get a view of those in proximity to Jesus, and we get a view of those on the periphery. And what Jesus does is he connects the two. And we're told now about Jesus' actions. He got into one of the boats and he asked to be put out from shore, and he sat down and taught the people. Jesus' actions here specifically connects those on the periphery to those in his proximity. Now, we would be wrong to think that Jesus' actions in any way demonstrate priority in terms of his focus and attention. We would be incorrect to think that what Jesus does in his shift of focus from the crowd to the fishermen communicates in any way any form of his preference or where his preference lies. Because what Jesus does is he connects these two people groups. He gets into the boat belonging to the periphery fishermen and he asks for it to be pushed out into the water, and from there he continues to teach the crowd. He doesn't ditch the crowd for the fishermen. His actions bring the fishermen into what he is already doing. In fact, his actions move them from periphery to proximity. He brings them in. And if you think about it, from that moment on, these fishermen never left the position of proximity to Jesus. They were brought from the periphery into his proximity, and from that moment, they were always part of those who crowded round the word in the presence of Jesus. Wherever Jesus was, they were. Wherever there was a crowd gathering around the presence of Jesus, they were part of it. They never again existed on the periphery. They were now always in proximity to him. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you no longer live on the periphery, but you forever live in proximity. When you put your faith and trust in him, you make the choice to live the rest of your life in proximity to him. And he chooses to presence himself in yours and in mine. He says, never will I leave you nor forsake you. Even when you walk through the water, I'm going to be there with you. Even when you pass through the fire, I'm going to be there with you. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will be there for you. I hold you in the palm of my hand, and nothing can separate us. Nothing can separate you from my love. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, we are invited to spend the rest of our lives in proximity to him and the rest of our eternity forever with him. This is a transformative moment for these guys. Periphery to proximity, and they never leave that position. So let's dive a bit deeper into this transformative moment. It says, when he'd finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. In this passage here, we see that Jesus doesn't stop what he's doing to turn his focus to the fishermen. He brings them in. They end up sitting as part of those listening to the words and the teaching of Jesus. And when he's finished his sermon, he turns to Simon and he initiates a conversation. And these few verses, they, in a nutshell, give us this brilliant image of faith. Jesus inhabits the space of the assembled crowd. He happily presences himself amongst those who intentionally and decisively gather around his presence and his word. He isn't inconvenienced by this. He isn't annoyed by it. He takes time with the crowd. He moves towards the fishermen, yes, but he brings them and returns to the crowd and continues his ministry to them. And this surely shows his heart for these assembled moments. This is a picture of church. A moment in which people come together with a shared focus and a common intention of being in Jesus' presence and hearing his word. And Jesus loves his church. Jesus loves the church. He loves to be amongst those who gather intentionally around him. But his heart is also for those on the periphery of that. Those who sit outside of that. And given the fact that Jesus brings these guys into the crowd, shows his intention for those who gather around his presence. His intention is that those of whom he captures their hearts and wins their souls, that they would be added to his church, and that his church would be the place that welcomes and includes them. His intention is that his church would be the place that welcomes and includes others. Now, please notice here that Jesus doesn't look along the shore and go, oh, excellent, a group of fishermen. Let me go and start another crowd on the shore, a new and better crowd. I'll call it a crowd plant. And they can carry the next best thing from Jesus. In fact, they can carry the better thing than this established crowd. Like, this established crowd is all right, but why don't I go and start a new and better crowd? Now, that's not what Jesus does. And don't get me wrong, I'm not against church plants. I love church plants. Sometimes I'm against the rhetoric and the mindset around those things. But what we see is that Jesus brings these guys into what he's doing. He includes them in the established crowd. And it seems pretty ominous in these verses when you read them that it's Jesus that includes them. It strikes me that if Jesus saw them and was able to wander along the shore and step into their boat, then they couldn't have been that far away from the crowd. It doesn't suggest that Jesus disappeared for 30 minutes looking for a boat and eventually appeared back with one. It must have been that if you looked along and saw them and was able to wander towards them, that they must have been quite near to where the crowd was. And if they were in his line of vision, then that must have meant that they were in the line of vision of the crowd too. And yet we don't read of anyone from the crowd inviting these guys in. We don't read of anyone calling them over or saying, you need to come and hear this, come and be part of this, come check this out, come join us. They are so focused on being there. They are so focused on hearing and seeing from themselves that they don't really see or consider those on the periphery. We need to be careful that we don't become consumers of Jesus to the extent that we aren't carriers of Jesus and communicators of Jesus. We've got to be careful that we don't become consumers of Jesus to the extent that we forget to function as he does. He seeks to build a welcoming and inclusive community that reaches out and that welcomes in. And it's interesting that these guys are brought into the crowd, and the text almost suggests that Jesus just kind of picked up from where he left off. There's no suggestion of Jesus saying to the crowd, hey, everyone, we've got some newbies amongst us today, so we're just going to soften things a little bit. I know we went really deep in the word there, and we were about to go into some ministry, but let's just water things down a little now, because we've got some outsiders with us. Now, in the boat, with the fishermen present, he just continued what he'd been doing before they became part of the assembly. He taught the crowd. And Jesus' actions show the importance of being part of a community gathering around his presence and his word, because this is the first place he brought the fishermen to. Before he did a miracle, before he brought prophetic revelation to them, before doing a sign and a wonder, before he outlined calling and purpose and destiny, all of that stuff is about to happen for them in the middle of the lake with a miraculous catch of fish. But before there was prophetic revelations and signs and wonders, before there was this calling out of identity and purpose and life direction and destiny, the first thing Jesus did was connect the fishermen to a community gathering around his word and his presence. That's really significant. That's really significant. I think what it shows is Jesus' heart for his church. Jesus loves his church. I wonder then how he feels when we trash talk his church. when we criticise, when we're negative, when we chew up and spit out this church. Don't get me wrong, sometimes that's warranted, isn't it? But he loves his church. Maybe we need to learn to love what he loves. Jesus brought these guys and he connected them into his community. The very first thing he did. And I think what he's communicating here is twofold. I think what he's communicating is this whole aspect of the importance of being part of the gathering around his word and his presence and the significance of that. But the very fact that he goes and gets the fishermen also points to the fact he's not looking for that gathering to be inward focused and insular with the back to the world, but to be a place that reaches out and welcomes in. First thing Jesus did was to connect the fishermen to a community gathering around his word and his presence. When he finished his preaching, he turns to Simon and he says to him, "Put out into deep water." Jesus invites Simon to journey with him. "Take a journey with me, Simon." Now, look at the headlines here. From being in the assembled crowd, Simon then begins a personal journey with Jesus. And the illustration here is obvious. As Jesus invites us into what he's doing upon the face of the earth, there are two dimensions to what he invites us into. He invites us to be part of his body, the community that he builds around his word and his reality. But he also invites us to journey with him. To begin a personal journey with him that exists outside of the assembled crowd, an intimate, unique, and personal journey that sits outside the boundaries of a crowd. It's a one-on-one with Jesus. It's a journey that involves deep transformation and change. And this is our calling. This is what it really means to have faith. We are called to be part of church. Intentionally and decisively to position ourselves within a community gathering around his word and his presence. He places value on it, so should we. He loves it, so should we. But we are also to take what Jesus does within those moments and take it into a personal, intimate, unique to us, one-on-one with Jesus discipleship journey that completely shapes us and transforms us. And I love the fact that both dimensions are shown here in this moment with Jesus. Both of these dimensions are involved in the moment that Jesus calls Simon to come follow him, because this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. It involves being part of his body. It involves prioritizing the gathering with others around the word and the reality of Jesus. But it also involves taking the revelation and encounter with Jesus into a personal journey, into a one-on-one with Jesus journey. And Jesus invites Simon. He says, "Put the boat out into the water, into the shallow water. Come be part of what I'm doing. Come be part of this gathering, this crowd, this community." And then he invites him again, "Put the boat out into the deeper water. Come, let's go deeper, Simon. Let's take this into an intimate, personal journey of you and me." Jesus invited Simon, put the boat into deep water. The deep water was the middle of the lake. And the point at which Jesus asked this, Jesus and Simon are just a little from the shore, close enough to the shoreline for the crowd of people to be able to hear Jesus speaking to them. So what Jesus asked Simon to do is to turn the boat away from the people, away from the shore, and to journey them towards the middle of the lake. Judging by what Simon says next in response to this request, Simon must have been absolutely knackered. He must have been expecting in his mind that as Jesus was wrapping up his talk, he must have been expecting to simply head back to the shore, finish off what he was doing, to return to the regular, to the routine, to carry on as normal. But Jesus interrupts the normal. And that right there is a very true statement. Jesus interrupts the normal. So you can come and be part of a community gathering around his presence. Jesus loves gathered moments. He's more than happy to be in those moments and release revelation into those moments. But true and lasting impact in our lives is when we take the revelation and experience of Jesus and we take it deeper. When it's not just about being part of the crowd and then carrying on with the normal, but it's about allowing Jesus to redefine our normal. Huge truth. When you begin a journey with Jesus, a real, honest, no holds barred one-on-one with Jesus, he begins to redefine your normal. And that's what he does here with Simon. Why does Simon journey with Jesus? You think, having been on the night shift all night, and come home and back to shore, and he's doing what he needs to do to wrap up after a night's work, you think he'd have been like, listen, Jesus, get your own Uber to the middle of the lake. Like, find another tour guide. I'm heading home to my kip. I've been on the night shift. But something makes Simon willing to journey with Jesus. And we have to assume that that something must have come out of sitting in the presence of Jesus and listening to his word. As we said, this request from Jesus saw Simon move from being part of the crowd to having a personal encounter with Jesus. And we know how this story unfolds. There's this miraculous catch of fish. There's some really supernatural stuff that happens in the middle of the lake. There's a moment of revelation, a moment of self-awareness for Simon. There's a whole redefining of life's purpose and his whole life direction and journey. And all of this happens in the middle of the lake. With the crowd in the distance and a place of intimacy, in a journey and a one-on-one with Jesus, that's where the whole life transformation takes place. The middle of the lake is a defining place for Simon. The middle of the lake is where Simon's whole worldview and his whole life trajectory changes. And to get to that place, Simon had to be willing to make a personal journey with Jesus. He had to commit to this journey of discovery. He had to embrace Jesus interrupting the normal and allow him to redefine the normal. Jesus is a kind and loving God. He intentionally brings us in. The very fact that you are sitting here right now is evidence of that. He is one who includes. He takes us from the periphery. He brings us into who he is. He brings us into what he's doing. He inserts himself into our worlds, into our regular, into our routine, and he brings us from periphery into his proximity. Maybe today you're here in this moment because God has stuck himself into your world and has brought you into a moment where, a bit like Simon, you've moved from being in the periphery of things and found yourself sitting in the presence of Jesus and listening to his word. And you can, like Simon could have, you can say, thank you very much. That was really nice. I've had a lovely time. I found that interesting. Listening to the word, being in the presence of God. But now, I'm just going to go home and just continue on with the rest of my life. Or, you can begin a journey with Jesus that is guaranteed to result in transformation. And that journey begins with a decision. Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. This was a really simple request. You'll notice that there's no pizzazz here. There's no supernatural showmanship, no flashes of light and booming thunder, no open heaven or booming voices. It's just a simple request. Journey with me. On the other side of this is miracles and supernatural manifestations and prophetic revelation and the calling out of life direction and purpose. But all of that sits on on the other side of a really simple, basic invitation. Journey with me. Simon could have said, no. It's his boat. He's in control. Jesus didn't get into the boat and asked if he could borrow it for a while and rowed himself into the water. He got into the boat and he asked Simon that Simon would put it out into the water. And then he asked Simon again to put the boat into deep water. The whole time, Simon is in control. Simon is in control of the boat's movement. He could have just declined, sorry mate, I've got stuff to tend to, I've got work commitments, my missus is waiting for me, maybe another time, let's get the diaries out and organise something. He could have said, no thank you. But if he had, he would have missed out completely on something life-changing and entirely supernatural. And all of this life-changing, supernatural, miraculous stuff lay at the other side of a really simple decision. To journey with Jesus or not to journey with Jesus. The invite was simple. No booming voices, no open heaven, no supernatural showmanship. The choice was just a basic choice. And it was Simon's choice to make. There is a life transformative experience, a supernatural encounter waiting to be found, and it sits on the other side of a really simple decision. To journey with Jesus or not? It's a simple decision. Simple decision that is yours to make. It's not anyone else's. It's not based on birthright. It's not based on christening or baptism or dedication or parental religion or cultural background. It is your own choice. The choice is yours. Will you journey with Jesus? And what's great is it's a multiple choice question. The answer is yes or no. But let me encourage you with this. Don't wait for the planets to align, for the flashes of light, the booming voices and the supernatural light bulb stuff. Don't wait till all the spiritual ducks are in a row and life is balanced. Don't delay it for another time and another place. It's a simple choice. Will you journey with Jesus? Will you go deeper? And to those of us that have been hanging around Jesus for a while, there's another question. What stops you going deeper? Depths with Jesus lie on the other side of simple decisions, natural decisions that are ours to make. What decision do you need to make to go deeper in your journey? Maybe you've been brought from periphery into proximity. Maybe your whole life with Jesus revolves around this gathered moment. Your whole faith system is fed and powered and motored by this gathered moment. What stops you making the decision to go deeper? What are some of the choices that you need to make? There are loads of simple choices that we make that take us deeper with him. Loads of simple decisions that sometimes we put off because we're waiting for the planets to align and the spiritual ducks to be in a row or the supernatural showmanship or suddenly to be in the place where it feels like it feels like it feels like this is now. What about baptism? Often folks say, I don't feel ready yet. That's totally fine. Nobody should ever get baptized and nobody should ever do anything that they don't feel ready to do. But what we've got to remember is that baptism is a gateway experience. It's not a maturity milestone. We get baptized because we've made a decision to live the rest of our life in proximity with Jesus. And our baptism is our public declaration of that in obedience to the word of God. But sometimes we can put these things off because we're waiting for the planets to align and the spiritual ducks to get in a row. And the truth is they'll never be in a row, ever, this side of eternity. Well, spiritual ducks are a nightmare, man. Maybe it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What stops you being filled with the Holy Spirit? Maybe it's stepping into a ministry. Maybe it's stepping into a calling. Maybe it's beginning to give. Maybe it's beginning to read your Bible. Maybe it's beginning to share your faith. Maybe it's beginning to fast. Maybe it's stepping into a promise. Maybe it's stepping out to deliver a word. Maybe it's going to pray for somebody. Do you know what? Sometimes we wait for all the eggs to hatch. Sometimes we wait for all the planets to align and for the spiritual stuff to happen, when the truth of the matter is, sometimes journeying deeper with Jesus starts with a simple decision, a natural decision to say, yes, I'm going to step into this. And as we journey into it, incredible things begin to take place. Simon followed his gut. He made a choice. Here's the other important thing. His choice involved effort. It says, when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. You'll notice that it's not a net that Simon is invited to cast, but nets. It's plural. Simon had to put in a bit of work to get to the middle of the lake. He had to put in some effort to cast out his nets. There was hard work and effort involved in being obedient to Jesus. There was a choice, there was a commitment, there was graft involved in acting in obedience to the word of God. And you know what? I'd be doing a massive disservice and I would be peddling a lie if I didn't call out that journeying with Jesus involves effort. It's something that you work at every day. It's something that each day and each moment of the day involves choice and commitment and hard graft. Please don't think that this is some Disney experience where the fairy godfather causes all the magic to happen and everything is amazing and happily ever after, because it's not. There are times that faith involves hard work. And there are times when, a bit like Simon, obedience looks like defying what seems logical and normal and sane. But I'm sure Simon would tell us that although it can be hard work and involves effort, and although obedience looks a bit like defying what can seem logical and normal and sane, it is worth it. What decisions do you need to take today? How do you need to step out in obedience? Maybe moving from periphery to proximity, from proximity deeper. The truth of the matter is, it's going to involve effort. It's going to involve working at it. And sometimes in our faith, sometimes we let Jesus do all the heavy lifting, and to be honest, in the whole power dynamic, he always does, but sometimes we need to take the step and begin to put some effort, some work. Sometimes stepping out in obedience to him can involve us stepping into that which doesn't always look normal or logical or sane. Sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's hard, but it is always worth it.